Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Java, brought to you as always by our friends at the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where they are serving you at your car, curbside delivery. I am joined by Ramon Foster in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Ramon, you are the money guy. And you know I know what you mean by that. Every team has a money guy. And there was one day in Latrobe where I was standing off the side of Chuck Noll Field and everybody was doing the warm-ups. This wasn't that long ago, doing the stretching and so forth. And you know what I'm going to say here. And you yell out, somebody got paid. Who got paid? I can't even remember. But it was 3 years ago or so.
It was somebody, Cam, I think.
Oh, it was Cam.
It was Cam.
And you yell out, Cam got paid. And everyone goes, woo. Except for Coach. Coach T's like, he's just totally straight-faced, just walking, stepping between you guys like nothing. He can't hear it. He can't hear. He's not paying any attention. You're the money guy. Every team's got a money guy. They know what everybody's making. Yeah. They know what everybody around the league is making, and that's the guy that I want being my union rep.
Yes.
What made you the money guy?
You know what, man? To be honest with you, I've always – once I learned that the game is also a business, that part of it became serious to me too, because I was like, well, there's a system to how this happened. And truth be told, I love seeing guys getting paid. I don't care if you're getting a one-year one. I don't care if you're coming back for minimum. You're getting something, okay? And I hate seeing guys lose money too, okay, through whatever. So I do love that. But every player in their career has this aha moment where they realize it's more than just a game. It's a business. And because of those reasons right there, I always made it my point to realize, okay, well, what does the market say this is going to go? Or how does this actually work? There's an actual system to how that works also. So in my article, you'll see it shows that I never just wanted to be one thing. I wanted to have a well-rounded career in saying that I was versed in a lot of different things. Yep. And hopefully that pays off in other avenues. Everybody, if you ask around, ask baseball, ask your hockey guys, ask your football guys, when was your aha moment to show that this is more than just a game?
That's a great point. That's a great point. And people realize that. I'll tell you when my aha moment was when Patrick Mahomes signed for 10 years and $450 million. There's actually a possibility for him to get even more out of that deal.
I saw 503.
It's 503 if there's other things that kick in.
Wow.
And you know what? He is exactly what he is. And the Chiefs just had their seminal moment. I mean, they obviously hadn't won a Super Bowl since the 1960s, and everyone's feeling it. And isn't that how these deals come together? And I don't mean to make it sound like a common deal. It's literally the richest contract in sports history, passing Mike Trout's deal with the Angels. But that's how it happens. Everyone's feeling it in that moment. Yeah. Everyone.
It is, and it's always one or two players a year that you're like, oh, man, this is crazy. Like, he got that? They got that? They're giving that out for this position now? But I think Pat Mahomes had his moment probably late last year in the playoffs before they got beat, who was it, by the Patriots, and they realized they had something. And then those numbers started coming out about how, man, he might be the first player to get 40. You know, he might be the first player to do this, or how much is he going to get? And I think this year was a testament to him believing in that and realizing that, man, I can be the biggest star in this game since, I hate to say it, not really, but since Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's right now carrying the whole NFL shield on his back. And I don't say that with no disrespect to other guys, But his business moment that he's just receiving right now, he's basically putting the league on his back. And if you are a realist about who he is and what he did at such a young age, then you're like, okay, yeah, it's deserved. I hadn't seen anybody say he didn't deserve that.
Oh, no, 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 and you won't either, and you won't. If you look at just the impact on the Kansas City franchise, setting aside the Super Bowl, but the certainty that they have knowing that he's going to spend in all likelihood his whole career there.
Yes.
Whether it comes to 10 years, once you've been someplace for that long, as you well know, you don't have an inclination to be shopping around, you know?
No.
And they know that they have that. And they also know, by the way, I also saw, Ramon, a couple of cases already in just the handful of hours since it happened of people saying, you understand that toward the end of that deal, Kansas City's actually going to be doing okay with it, right?
That's smart. And what's wild, I saw somebody say earlier, it's actually a former player, said, I've rarely seen a deal that was beneficial for the player and the team.
Yeah.
And this one seems very beneficial for him and the team, because if you look at the length in which the deal is and how much they want the growth of the league to be, that deal is probably going to sit still in the middle of the field of quarterback pay.
And well, yeah, they're approaching 40 now.
Yes.
Quarterbacks are approaching 40 as it is. It turns out Mahomes was the one that broke the barrier here, but it's not like they were that far off to begin with, including, I might add, the local quarterback.
Exactly. Ben has cashed in on that too. And it's nobody's fault but those guys, because they are a product that everybody wants to see. Ben, for a while, was the face of the NFL. You know, he's a young guy winning Super Bowls that quick in the league. And, you know, you have a guy like Mahomes who's coming in and doing it his way. And Brady is another guy. Brady never got the paycheck, but, you know, the off-the-field money for him was insane.
Oh, yeah.
But contract money, this is – amazing, and I'm glad to see it. It also bodes to the other side of the game that, well, if they're paying him this much each year, then how are they going to surround him with talent?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, after reading a little bit this past weekend, I think Kansas City is going to let Andy Reid do his thing as far as him being the offensive coach, but they're going to find ways to work around that cap in a sense of money ball. And I'm not sure how prevalent it is now in the NFL, but playing money ball of saying, what can we get out of this guy before we have to pay him? Because Patrick Mahomes is taking up 20% of the cap or whatever
cap, yeah.
It is. You know, I think it goes even farther with his star, his stardom, and just across the board. The funny story, my son wanted a jersey for Christmas, Patrick Mahomes jersey, okay? I've never seen this kid more excited about getting a jersey than his. It was so crazy. He wore it all day on Christmas. So what we had to tell him, hey, Miles, take the jersey off, okay? I know you love it. But he's one of those players where I was okay with it because he's doing it the right ways. I hate to use the analogies of it. He's a clean guy and. But
yeah,
he fits in that circle of he did it right.
Yeah. Also, he's not in the AFC North.
And he's not in the AFC North. Good luck, Titans. Oh, no, that's AFC West. Good luck, Chargers. Chargers, Raiders, yeah.
Okay, so the quarterback does take up a significant percentage of the cap, again, including in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
However, to me, if you have your ideal scenario, and I'm not going to play amateur Omar Khan here with you here, but if you have an ideal scenario, don't you have a world-class defense with a lot of young guys that have not yet gotten paid, okay? Like, I don't know, Minkah Fitzpatrick and people like that, okay?
Yeah.
You have all those guys on that side of the ball, and on the offensive side, you have the franchise quarterback. Isn't that your dream cap scenario in the NFL?
I think so. Because truth be told, defenses do aid, I would think, a lot more in a championship. Kansas City realized that when they got Frank Clark, okay? That was a huge addition. So now they was willing to let go one of their own, D4, go. in order to get Frank Clark because they knew what he would bring to a defense. And then in the season, we're getting Terrell Suggs, who you and I know made some plays in a championship game that was very, very crucial.
Because he's Terrell Suggs still. He can't move like he used to. Nobody can as they get older, but he still knew what to do, and he sure wasn't going to be overwhelmed by the situation. You know what I mean?
That makes the most sense to me. I just knew he was going right back to Baltimore. Toy, what was that, week 17? No. Andy Reid convinced him, and it was a smart convince that, hey, we need you on this defense because if we get you for cheap, because remember, he was on a low deal in Arizona.
Yeah, he was.
Or at least they only had to pay him for 1 week and playoff checks are paid from TV money.
A pool, yeah, right.
They're paid from a pool. I think, as you said, that is the ideal situation. Only thing that I beg to say is you got to have a receiving core or some speed still.
Yeah.
That's the only other hiccup I think you need on offense. And to be able to – there's three things I think you need. You need a quarterback who is the franchise. It's going to take a lot of the salary cap. A solid receiver, and you need some guys able to protect them. Unless you have a side-to-side gadget play-action type of offense. If you're a drop-back offense, pro-style offense, I think you do need to invest in your RJ. You do
cameo.
Need to close the door. You do need to invest in your offensive line. But if you're an offense the way – say San Francisco, Houston, but they've also paid Tunsil, a Brinks truck also. So those three on offense, I think you do need very, very much, and they need to be compensated.
Well, aren't the swinging back to the Steelers again, I mean, I kind of like the way their cap is structured at the moment because, you know, if you're looking at the receivers, you're right. You do want to have the good receivers. But at the same time, in Pittsburgh, none of the receivers has gotten paid yet. But that doesn't mean they're not effective. A lot of cases, your younger receivers, and as we just saw in Kansas City, by the way, can get the job done. Again, that's why I look at – in Pittsburgh, as you know better than anybody –
yeah.
Ben's protected in part because the offensive line got paid. But Ben also has wide receiver options, and not one of them is on some mega contract.
No.
I like the look of it, you know.
It is
a cap structure. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I do understand, but as you said, the bulk of everything about your team goes to the defense. More of that goes to the defense. You have a huge chunk going to the quarterback on offense and one or two other players. But yes, having you a Cam, a Tua, a freaking Devin Bush, who's a young guy, Vince Williams on the second contract, but then you get a Steve Nelson and Joe that is a very solid defense. And if you're smart, you mimic that in a whole lot of different ways. And then you got your young – there's always one group, and I think our young group that's not paid yet is the safeties. But they're good talents.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna eventually come to the point where I can't even picture paying Minka.
Either. He's everything and more. That kid is – he has a confidence about him, but you don't hear him speaking about himself. And that is one of the most beautiful things. He challenged other positions to be as good as him, man. And it was amazing to see them take off even more when he came into the fold.
I had one – my very first impression, first time I spoke with him after the trade, is I came away with one word in my head, adult.
Yes.
Like, wait a second. I thought they were getting some kid from Miami. Who's this?
No.
That's a grown-up.
And then he's dealing with the – they weren't trying to shelve him in Miami, but he dealt with a bunch of
– yeah.
I don't want to – it's political. I don't want to, step on anybody else's toes, but it wasn't a happy situation for him.
And it all worked out.
He got some bad rep, and he got to Pittsburgh.
Yep. At some point – Minka's going to get paid. TJ's going to get paid.
Yes.
Okay, like how do you write that in all capital letters here?
Yes.
With all due respect to Minka, TJ was just – he arguably should have been DPOY this past season.
Yes.
If you're the Steelers, Ben still has another year in 2021 or whatever, but do you start even, like, do you start having salary cap priorities in your head? And that's not to suggest you go Ben or this or that or whatever. But now if you're bringing Ben back at age 40 or age 41 or whatever else it is here, maybe you're keeping yourself from keeping TJ and Minka and so forth. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I do. It's the number games that can get real thin with the line that you're going to play with. If we keep him or if he – not even if we keep him, if he wants to play.
Does he want to play? That's actually the bigger variable in all of this, isn't it? Does he want to play?
And you know him like I know him, just like everybody else in the city. He's a competitor. If there's anything left in the tank, I think he does play. So, with that, the question is, do you pay him or TJ? Ben's a winner, and I think he understands the winning of the team is more important than what you do personally. With that being said, I don't know if Ben takes another I think his last one was like 2 for 68 we were talking about. Does he take another just 34? Or does he want a pay increase? Does he want to chase the rings and sacrifice taking less to get Minka, to get TJ under contract? I mean, Cam is up due too. Very, very soon, I think.
Well, let's not leave out that let's presume that on offense, which would be nearer and dearer to his heart, that let's say that Juju just completely busts out, just goes completely nuts. Yeah. And you say you're the Steelers, all right, look, we're not letting them go. And we're not just going to say, you know, you can walk away here at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's when you're – as the quarterback, that's when you start feeling a little bit more generous, a little more inclined to, all right, look, that guy makes my life and my job easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then on top of that, too, I think Dave is coming up very soon, too.
Yes,
and
he
if
is.
I'm not mistaken, Alejandro has one more left. So there's a lot of moving parts that's going to happen to go on moving forward. You got to ask yourself, okay, well, do they sign Terrell back also to make it happen? Do you let Tua go or in a trade? There's a lot of different scenarios. Me knowing the Steelers and on the business side, I know Ben has buttered my bread for a very long time. And you got to take care of him. But you also got to come to him and say, hey, if you want to chase rings 3, 4, 5, we got to be able to make a compromise. And that compromise is you either staying at 34 or taking a dip. And most guys don't like to take a dip. But me knowing Ben, he's a team guy, and winning is what he wants to do on Sundays. I think at the end of the day, though, you pay TJ, unless TJ gets paid this August.
Oh, yeah. I mean, TJ is the ultimate no-brainer, I think, in this whole equation. One way or another, you start the conversation with paying TJ. I'm not talking about Ben here in general. It feels like to some extent that some of this will, like as it almost always does in football and in life, it'll kind of play itself out.
It does.
You know what I mean? Like you'll have things that we think are, oh, impossible challenges right now. Someone mm-hmm. will unfortunately get hurt or a performance will nosedive and you'll go, okay, well, then that decision was kind of made for us. Or, this is better, someone will rise up and you'll say, yeah. Hey, listen, Steven Nelson, like we thought he was going to be good. Yeah. We didn't know he was going to be this good. and maybe we want to make sure that we keep him and we want to keep other players that perform at a high level and your priorities shift around. It's just, I guess these are the good problems to have. You know,
it is. And that's what I was going to say. Pittsburgh, since I've been there, has had one major problem that a lot of teams really don't have. One is their homegrown guys always seem to pan out. If you get more than 4 years with the Steelers, it seems like you always get an opportunity to pan out. You look at Vince, you look at Cam, you look at Tua, you look at TJ, you look at Bud, you look at Ben, you look at Pounce, you look at – go across the line.
Oh, you keep going. Yeah, you had a long way to go there. Yeah,
I had a long way to go. And our guys seem to want to stick around for the most part. It's a great problem to have, but it is a tricky one. That cap manipulation is huge. And then every once in a while, I think Javon Hargraves might be the first homegrown guy that got away. in recent history, I'm not sure if there's been anybody that we lost recently that's been a home guy in Pittsburgh.
That you wanted to keep.
That we wanted to keep, yes.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, who wouldn't have minded staying?
But who do you pay when you got TJ coming up? They had the franchise bud again. Mike Hilton's making over $3 million this year. Matt Filer's making over $3 million this year. Ben has a big number. And then you got to wonder, when are they going to pay Al and Dave? And it's a lot. That's a big problem, man. And I know it sounds like kids playing with money at this point, but that's a great problem to have. But it is a headache about every 2 or 3 years.
No, that's it. When there was one on the other side, a teammate of yours played the same position, in fact, in BJ Finney, that you could make a very solid argument that, you know, he should have been, could have been, whatever it is, retained, and it didn't work out that way. Seattle, to his credit, I mean, he got paid by Seattle.
He did, and that's one of the Steelers' biggest issue. I'm not sure if there's any other teams. Maybe Baltimore, because we're a lot alike in a lot of different ways, franchises.
So many ways, yeah.
But homegrown guys usually stay. We don't cherry pick outside of our team too much. Mike Mitchell was the biggest signing we probably had in recent history. Other than after that, getting Joe and Minka was a trade. I mean, think about in recent history. Who I think the guy before that was James Ferrier.
Yeah, it's been like the Morgan Burnett and people like that. It hasn't been like super, super big names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if I'm a GM, I sign TJ because DJ is a leader of that defense. He gets people going. You need a play, he's getting a play, man. I know there's no disrespect to Ben, and it's just how business goes, I guess.